Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
Good morning and a happy Mother's Day out there. It's Christian Arcand, Sunday Mass. A little daytime Arcand for you here on this beautiful Sunday morning. I'm here with you for a while, too. We got a long show. We got a long haul ahead of us here as I'll be taking you up until 1:15. That is Red Sox pregame. Another rubber match, if you can believe that. I know, right? The Red Sox playing a rubber match. Who'd have thought? It's just every single series that they've had the entire year, basically. Oh, what a season that's been. What a weekend it's been. Rafael Devers, all that drama, which we will get to in the next hour. Although I will say this. It's Sunday. It is Mother's Day. I'm sure a lot of you are traveling to see your moms right now. Or some sort of, you know, see grandma or something like that. And if you got a take you want to get out there, even if it's not germane to what I'm talking about at that exact moment, I'm going to be, and if you're a mom calling in today, you get right to the front of the line. Any mom who calls in, you don't even have to prove you're a mom. You just got to say you're a mom. You call in, you say you're a mom, you're right to the front of the line. Going to you first at 617-779-7937. After all, it is your day. But we're going to go ahead and start with the Boston Celtics. A game that many said, whoever wins game three is going to win the whole series. You heard that, Jacob, I'm sure, right? I mean, I heard many people say that.
Yeah, apparently it was a must-win for both teams.
Must-win for the team that's up 2-0 going home. Now, I understand the sentiment behind it, absolutely. The Knicks really scraped by those first two games. And they were the beneficiary of the Celtics shooting worse than I've ever seen any team shoot in two playoff games. Ever. In the history of basketball. That I've watched, I don't know, maybe back in the 50s, you know, when there was no shot clock. Maybe they just hold the ball forever and not shoot it at all. I don't know. George Mikan's out there, you know, missing hook shots. I have no idea. But it was about as bad as I've ever seen in my life. I remember a couple of years ago, it was like 2017, I want to say, that year where James Harden missed like 25 straight three-pointers in the playoffs. You remember that? It was against Golden State. A good team to do that against, by the way. Good team to miss every single three you're taking. Yeah, it's Golden State Warriors. But yeah, I remember James Harden and the Rockets that year missed tons of shots. Just completely shot themselves right out of the series. And I think what we saw in those first two games was even worse than that. It's the worst thing I've ever seen. And what's crazy about it is that the Celtics shoot a lot of threes, but they're not a great three-point shooting team. They haven't been all year. That's sort of the elephant in the room with this team. That's the part about this that no one really wants to face. All the hardcore Celtics fans and the Missoula Ball defenders and everybody else. Last year, you had three players who were in like the top 10 in three-point shooting in the entire league. Horford, Pritchard, Hauser, I mean, all Derek White, all these guys were shooting tremendous percentages. And it seemed to make sense. Okay, let's really ratchet it up now this year. All right, we got all these shooters. We got all these guys who can stretch the floor and shoot three-pointers. All our bigs can shoot threes, except Luke Kornet. But they can all kind of do it. And let's just make that the identity of this team this year. And then this year, the three-point shooting dipped a little bit. Now, was it enough to make the Celtics irrelevant or not one of the best teams in the league or in the Eastern Conference? Of course not. Of course not. They are still very much top team in the league. But when you have an identity like that, there's always the possibility of Murphy's Law. And for those who are unaware, Murphy's Law is the idea that, you know, if something can go wrong, it's going to go wrong. And the worst thing that could happen to this Celtics team, the worst, is that they shoot 25% from three-point range for two games, two home games. That's the worst-case scenario. That's the chaos theory, right? Like that, you know, there's other things. They could lose Porzingis. They could lose Jason Tatum. I think shooting as badly as they did in the first two games was worse than it would have been if Tatum didn't play in those two games. If they had shot normally without Jason Tatum, they probably honestly win those two games the way the Knicks played. Or at the very least, split 1-1. Shooting like that is the worst thing that can happen to this team. And we saw it. We saw it for two games. Two games that the Knicks barely beat them in. Barely. And then yesterday, in a game that I don't know any Celtic fan that watched that game and felt comfortable until about, I don't know, 30 seconds left when they were up 28. You know, everybody was sweating that game out the entire thing. Okay, it's 5 minutes left. They're up by 26. This is probably, you could probably relax now, right? Nope. No. Not with these guys. Not with this team. Not the way they've played lately. Not the way they've closed out games and closed out fourth quarters. Are you kidding me? No way I'm relaxed. And by the way, newsflash, I'm not relaxed now either. I don't agree with everybody who said, oh, you win game three, you win the whole series. I don't know about that. They're down 2-0. They got another game at Madison Square Garden. I know they've played well on the road, but they do have to come back and play at TD Garden too. And for whatever reason, they can't throw the ball in the ocean when they're back in Boston. Good shooting night last night. No question about it. And maybe that's all they needed to do. They needed to have one good game, and then they're back, and they're hot, and they're fine, and nothing to worry about.
I don't think the crowd is as good as people think it is at MSG, too.
Is that? Well, I had a friend who was at the game and said that the most excited that the crowd got was when Mitchell Robinson was shooting free throws and they were cheering him on, like, come on, buddy, you can do it, like a kid at a T-ball game. You know, like, come on, man. Come on, Mitchell. We all believe in you, buddy. And he airballs the free throw. Watching him shoot free throws is tremendous. I'm sort of against the whole hack of Robinson thing. I think it's kind of pointless. But if it does mean I get to watch him shoot free throws, then I'm for it because I find that wildly entertaining. Wildly entertaining. All that aside, I am not convinced that the Celtics have this series in the bag now. And I think if you are, you're getting a little ahead of yourself. I understand. It's the Knicks. It's Knicks fans. They're easy to want to say big things to because they say big things. They don't get to talk that much. Knicks fans barely get to talk at all. Usually for the Knicks, it's like they'll get off to like a good start in the first 2 weeks of the season. And everybody's dancing around outside Madison Square Garden, you know, shotgunning beers on the train. Going outside, beating people up, which actually has been happening a lot more here in Boston lately. I didn't see any fights last night outside of MSG. Outside of TD Garden, though, I saw a bunch. Certainly on the socials. Anyway, we'll get to that in a little bit, too. Knicks fans don't get to talk very often. Usually it's like a good start to the season, and they are insufferable. No offense, Jacob, I know you're... are you a Knicks fan?
No.
I don't even know. You're not? Okay, I know you're in New York with something.
I don't like any team that plays at Madison Square Garden.
Okay, fair enough. Good for you. But you know the type of fan I'm talking about, of course, right? Knicks fans who, when they do get a chance to talk, they talk. I mean, it's like, you know, when they get a chance to talk, they're like Muhammad Ali. But the rest of the time, they can't say anything because the team just stinks.
It's just a total goldmine of social media content to just go into that crowd in front of MSG with a camera and a microphone and just get people talking.
It's really great. It really is. I admit, I mean, I'll watch that footage, especially if they blow it. And listen, if there's a team that can blow a 2-0 lead when they win the first two games on the road, if there's a team that you can set your watch that you can blow that, it's the New York Knicks. I'm not gonna be naive about that. But I'm also not gonna sit here and tell you that, oh yeah, the Celtics were so awesome in that game that they're gonna absolutely run the table and win these next three games. And I don't know, what do you call it? A gentleman's sweep when you're down 0-2? I don't know what you call that. It's some kind of different sweep. But let's just take a look at that game last night. Because I think it's important to remember here that while the Knicks weren't really effective at anything they wanted to do, the Celtics, if they were hitting threes, but that's really it. They're offensively, not a lot of other things were working for them. And if you look at the individual numbers of some of these guys, if you look at what Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who were combined 15 of 38 from the field, and both got outscored by Peyton Pritchard off the bench, I didn't see a perfectly executed offense with your superstars taking over. I saw a team hit more threes than the other team, and that was basically it. That's what you saw. The Knicks couldn't shoot threes. They were, what, 5 of 25? I mean, they were bricking everything. They looked like you in the first two games, and you looked like them. And you shot 50% to their 25%, and that's why you won the game. I hate to put it so simply. I really don't think that, you know, it's that much of a make-or-miss league. But in this series, what else can you possibly say? The Celtics' defense has been fine. They've held the Knicks to under 100 points in the last two games. Held them to under 95 points in the last two games. So I'm not concerned about that. I thought the defensive intensity last night was very good. I thought they were being physical with New York and sort of punching them back after the first two games where the Knicks were taking liberties just like Orlando was. And it seemed almost like the Celtics were surprised by it. It's like you just had a series against a team that's more physical than this. And maybe they thought they were going to get a different type of brand of series against New York, but the Knicks came out, Anunoby and Towns and all those guys, Robinson came out swinging. And the Celtics had no answer. Even when they had wide open threes, they just had no answer for it. What I liked about last night was, yeah, they continued to shoot. You can't abandon your bread and butter, which is what three-point shooting is for this team. You got to keep shooting. But it wasn't all just, okay, we're wide open, let's overthink it. They were taking contested threes, making them, wide open ones. There was one where Tatum had the ball at the top of the three, and Robinson was down in the paint, and he comes rushing out to challenge. Tatum sort of pump fakes. Robinson stops. He's right around like the top of the key, and he stops. And Tatum just looks at him, and then boom, hits the three right in his face. And I remember watching that thinking, all right, that was cool. That reminded me a little bit of Paul Pierce against Al Harrington a million years ago. When it was, they were dribbling out the clock before the end of the half, and he's talking to Harrington the whole time, and then bam, hits a three right in his face. It wasn't quite like that, because Tatum doesn't really do that. And we'll hear from Tatum in a little bit. He had some things to say about that. Which, again, the tone of Joe Mazzulla and Jason Tatum and some of these guys after that win yesterday is very, very confident, maybe a little too confident.
Batman-like.
Joe Mazzulla, I mean, listen, I'm glad they won the game, too. But with Joe Mazzulla, you would think they were up 3-0. I mean, he's like, hey, you got to embrace the darkness. Okay. Okay, buddy. That's cool. We'll hear from him as well. And some other things that Jaylen Brown had to say, which out of everybody, I thought Jaylen Brown's comments were, I thought they had made the most impact. When he said, you got to beat us four times, not just two. I heard that, and I thought, okay, well, that's a way of expressing, I think, what Mazzulla and Tatum were both trying to say, too. But in a way that I found a little more digestible. I don't know. With Jaylen Brown, when he talks after games, I find myself wanting to listen to him more than I want to listen to Tatum. And with Joe Mazzulla, it's sort of a coin flip. With Mazzulla, sometimes I think what he's saying is like the greatest thing in the world. And sometimes I'm like, what the hell are you talking about, man? What? I guess I missed that part. All right. And, you know, with him, it could be any number of things. But I thought he had a real reckoning after those first two games. Those first two games, there was a lot of Joe Mazzulla that you could pick apart with it. In terms of the strategy, in terms of the stubbornness, in terms of the adjustments not really connecting the way that he was hoping for. And sort of the defiance about it, too. We're not going to change anything. Talking to B-Rob, well, you know, maybe we should just hit more threes. And unfortunately, game three proved that whole thing right, didn't it? Just hit more threes. Okay. Well, we did. And we won. And now we're going to try and do it in the next game. And for the rest of the series and the rest of the playoffs. I don't think the Celtics have this thing sewn up. I don't think it's impossible for them to win either. I mean, I'm not going to go extreme in the other direction. But I don't. If I'm picking right now, I'm picking them to not win the series. I'm picking the Knicks to beat them. And maybe it's just, you know, odds and all of that. The Celtics remain the favorites, even down 2-0. I can't imagine. They're probably like overwhelming favorites now that they won one game in the series. But I look at Jalen Brunson, So far, he's outplayed Jason Tatum. I mean, there's no question about it. Statistically, he's outperformed him every possible way. And he hasn't been that good. Not every possible way. He hasn't out-rebounded him. But in terms of scoring and, you know, playmaking, he's been the better player, no doubt. And we haven't seen a crazy Jalen Brunson game yet. We haven't seen Brunson go off for like 35, 40 points. And I think that's still in the chamber somewhere. I think there's a big Karl Anthony Towns game in the chamber somewhere. Because Kristaps Porzingis, I'm not sure what else he's going to be able to give you the rest of the playoffs here. Al Horford was better yesterday, but in the first two games I thought was a bit of a liability on defense. And just like everybody else, he was bricking all his threes. I'm a little concerned that there's going to be a game where Karl Anthony Towns just gets hot, or Jalen Brunson just gets hot, and the Celtics are playing their game and making their three, and they can't put them away, and then you get into a fourth quarter situation, and the Knicks beat you again. They've shown you a blueprint for how to do this. They've shown the league. Keep it close. Keep it close against these Celtics. And then keep it in the hands of your best guys. And let them make mistakes. And they'll do it. They'll make mistakes. Let them miss shots. They'll miss those shots. Down the stretch, close and late, the Celtics aren't maybe who we thought they were. But if they get out into a big lead, they can protect that lead. Sometimes. First two games, not so much. Sometimes they can. And generally when they do, it's not competitive. That was sort of the hallmark of the playoffs last year, wasn't it? They get out to big leads. They protect the leads. You didn't really get down to the close and late in a lot of these games, except that one game against the Pacers, game one when Brown hit that big three. But other than that, there weren't a lot of moments like that. There just weren't. And that's sort of the identity of this team in some ways. But they didn't have to go through a Knicks team that was pretty much fully healthy last year. They didn't have to go through any team that was fully healthy last year, except maybe the Mavs at the end, but we all saw how Luka was moving, so I guess fully healthy is kind of a relative term when it comes to him. But you know what I mean? Like, it was very, even the teams they didn't have to play. Giannis was hurt, Brunson was hurt, Halliburton got hurt, Mitchell got hurt, Butler was hurt, like, all these guys were hurt. So the Celtics, in fairness, stayed healthy. They were available. They were durable, and they were able to take that championship home. This year, they're finding themselves a little bit more tested. And so far, I'd say the test hasn't gone great. There's time to still pass it. But right now, I'm not doing backflips over that Game 3 win. It was nice to see. I hope they can keep it up. But they still have a lot of work to do, as do the Knicks. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with our Celtics conversation. I'll get to your phone calls as well. First, here's Jacob Lastner. He's going to get you caught up on which
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's trending. A little smattering of Peyton Pritchard yesterday. It's Christian Arcan here, Sunday Mass. Nice to have you with us this morning. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Like I said, any mothers call in, you grip right to the front of the line. And we'll get to your phone calls here in just a minute. Peyton Pritchard was your leading scorer last night, which I know meant a lot to Megan Ottolini. Happy Mother's Day to her and her son, Peyton Pritchard. The third highest volume shooter on the team last night, or yesterday afternoon, I guess, yesterday evening, took 16 shots in 35 minutes off the bench. Drew Holiday played 25 minutes. He started. He played 25 minutes, Pritchard 35. And Pritchard had the green light. And I'll say this, I was not at all surprised to check the box score after this one was over and see that he had more points than Jason Tatum, more points than Jaylen Brown, more than Derek White, and more than Al Horford, who also started in place of Kristaps Porzingis. Porzingis, who only played 19 minutes, Horford had 35 minutes. And Horford played a good game, I thought. It was his best game so far of the series. I thought in the first two he really struggled. I thought yesterday he looked much better. There were still some defensive moments where I, you know, got a little nervous, but listen, Brunson wasn't doing what he did in the first two games. In the first two games, they were hunting out the Brunson-Horford matchup, and Brunson was taking them apart. Yesterday, it seemed as though they were looking for that early in the game, and Horford, both one-on-one and also with some help on the wing, was able to neutralize Brunson and sort of keep everybody, keep him in the ballpark, so to speak. But I thought the name of the game was Peyton Pritchard. He stepped up in a very real way. He's now, I think, embraced a role on this team that many were sort of looking at and wondering, when is the changing of the guard going to happen here? And it's a little tough because Drew Holiday, I think, is one of the more seasoned, professional, veteran presences on your team. Horford and Holiday, I look at those two, and I think while Tatum and Brown are the best players, these guys contribute something very, very valuable with their long history in the league, their sage wisdom, their ability to sort of know what to do in the right situations and how they don't put too much on themselves. Both Horford and Holiday, I feel like, are very, very sort of calming presences in that locker room. And that's a good thing for veteran players to be, especially when you have two young superstars. But with Holiday in particular, ever since that whole thing with his hand, a thumb, whatever that was, the trigger finger with the thumb. Ever since then, he's not really been the same. And while last year there were some games where he took over, you remember he had a couple of 20-plus point games in the playoffs last year. This year it seems like they're leaning more towards Pritchard and his offense. And I think that that's just natural. It's a natural progression. I'm a little surprised that Pritchard was so effective because in much of the Orlando series and the first two games of this series, I didn't really think he had all that much going for him. I thought it was a little bit, okay, well, guess we're not going to see a whole bunch of him these playoffs. Maybe if the right matchup comes up, but I didn't think it was going to be against New York. I didn't think it'd be Brunson or McBride or Bridges or any of their other guards. It seemed like, okay, well, If Orlando's blueprint to beat the Celtics was guard the three-point line, that really hurts Peyton Pritchard. What's he going to go in the paint? If he's not getting that three off, then it's tough for him to contribute and from a scoring perspective. But last night, he was getting in there. He was getting his nose dirty, offensive rebounds, putbacks, reverse layups. Like, he was all over the place. And if that's the kind of Peyton Pritchard we're going to be getting here, then, yeah, I think the Celtics is still waiting on the big Jason Tatum game of this series, a big Jaylen Brown game of this series. Haven't had that yet. What last night reminded me of was the way they won a lot of their games last season. Because if you remember in the playoffs, Brown and Tatum didn't have big, big games. Like, there weren't a lot of 40-point, okay, he took over the whole game. It was a lot of sort of inefficient shooting, 20-plus points on 18 or 19 shots. And that's what you saw. Tatum had 22 points on 20 shots. 19 points on 18 shots for Jaylen Brown. And they won comfortably. And I feel like that's a lot more familiar to what last year was than what we saw in the first round with Tatum going off and having those crazy games against Orlando, most of which they won. You know, when they really dominate, it doesn't necessarily have to be everyone's hitting their three, everyone's unconscious from the field. No, it's more of a defensive intensity thing and grinding your opponent down. And they did that yesterday. And Peyton Pritchard did that yesterday, for sure. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to all your Celtics phone calls here. And as I said, any mothers want to call in, you get right to the front of the line. Let's go ahead and start with Steve in Fall River. He has a thought on the Celtics. Tatum, Mazzulla, Porzingis, the whole group. What's up, Steve?
I just want you to know, at the end of last year, I said they should trade Kristaps Porzingis after his one great game because his stock was the highest. Mm-hmm. That does pair in with me saying to trade Rafi Devers after last year, if you could. So let me start with that. Now, I have to give Joe Mazzulla, you have to, everyone has to give Joe Mazzulla, Jason Tatum, some props here. They are the defending champs. Now, I'm not going to give that carte blanche for what we saw in game two. I'm giving them game one as a pass. But when you see a carbon copy of game two and you've wed to this stat or this shoot the ball, blah, blah, blah.
At some point, somebody
has to say, we got to get out of this. We got to, like, pull the ripcord. And I was texting friends at around the five-minute mark after I saw Al Horford. Remember, Al Horford's 1-on-5, one of the most despicable moves ever they had in this game two. It was just horrible. Tatum took an open three, and it was like, no, done. That was it with that program. Pull the ripcord, clear out, give Jason Tatum the ball for the last 5 minutes of the game. And guess what? His previous two trips down the court, he got two free throws, and then he got that coast-to-coast before the ill-fated last possession. Mm-hmm. But if they would have went five, if they would have taken my advice, and gone with this guy 10 trips down the floor, you're telling me in the other eight, he wouldn't have gotten a basket, a couple of free throws? It never should have come to that. There's nothing the Knicks are doing here that's affecting this series. This is a Celtics-alone series. They're doing it to themselves. The Knicks, as you can see, are terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Steve. I don't think the Knicks are any
good. Boring!
I don't think they're that great. But I also think that there are things that they're doing effectively on defense. They're leaving shooters open, which you can't do that. They could do it in the first two games. But the reason why they were leaving shooters open was because if you brought it into the paint, Mitchell Robinson or Towns or Ananobi or one of those guys, you're getting hacked, and it's going to get called about 50% of the time. They're protecting the paint. And it's noticeable because in the first two games, when you're bricking all your open threes, and you can't go into the paint, then you're sort of SOL. I mean, like, what are you supposed to do? Half the time when you hear Mazzulla talk about these after timeout inbound plays, it's always like, yeah, well, we have Tatum go in there and make a read, and I trust him to make the read, and that's it, and that's the whole thing. And I hate when he does that. I hate when he explains those plays because it's like, that's not a play. Give him the ball and make a read. Okay, well, just say that. Just say we're giving him the ball and we're clearing out. But they didn't clear out. They didn't clear out at the end of game two. Tatum dribbled it right into traffic and then turned around and couldn't get rid of it. Now, I'll say this. With Tatum and his ability to attack the basket, I do agree with Steve on that front. Because the Jason Tatum defenders, and I can be one of them sometime, not like a card-carrying member, but I do defend them a lot. The Jason Tatum defenders go on and on about what a diverse scorer he is and how no one gives him the credit that he deserves for all the things that he can do on offense and how creative he is at scoring and, you know, the mid-range game and finishing at the rim and, you know, the three-pointer is just a small part of what he does and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay, great, sure, fine. Well, can we see it? Right? Can we see that? If that's true, then aren't you upset with Joe Mazzulla for turning him into this one-dimensional three-point chucker in the first two games? I would be. Now, what's interesting is the Celtics took the same amount of threes in Game 3 as they did in Game 2. In Game 2, they made 10 of them. In Game 3, they made 20 of them. So, again, you see, it does come down to the numbers sometimes. It does just come down to the percentages. It comes down to how often do you get the shots up. And I think that in some cases, that's a good way to go about it. In some cases, that's a way to let another team back into a game, like in Games 1 and 2, when you're up by 20 points in the second half. And you're shooting threes and missing them early in the shot clock. There's only so many possessions left in the game. And you're giving them away. I thought that was so ridiculous. Right up there with the Mitchell Robinson, Hacker Robinson thing before they were in the bonus. And then they get in the bonus and they take him out and put in a guy who can shoot free throws. Whoops. I mean, those are the type of mistakes you don't really expect to see ever, let alone in the playoffs. And let's talk about Joe Mazzulla a little bit. Can you cue up that quote again that you played in trending there, Jacob, the embrace the darkness, Bane over here? you can always sort of tell what movie Joe Mazzulla is like into at the time. he's quoting the town now. I think he's on like a Batman kick right now based on this last quote that we have. This, he was asked about, you know, winning and how it goes after the first two games, and Joe Mazzulla had this to say.
This is the fun part. You don't get into the journey for it to be easy. So it's been dark, but in a good way. I mean, like, you just got to tap into your darkness.
Okay. I like Joe. I do. I went on and on about how I thought he was perfect in that Celtics documentary. I've grown to respect him a lot more over the last 2 years than I did in the first year when I thought he was kind of a doofus. All right. And I still think he displays some goofy qualities here and there. And right there, it's a little bit of that there. Oh, what? Last year was no fun? You didn't face a lot of darkness last year. Last year was kind of smooth sailing right to the finals and then right through the finals. Looked pretty fun to me. That parade looked pretty fun. So I'm not sure about all this. You just got to embrace the darkness. Yeah, okay, okay. I don't know. Maybe I just don't find that stuff as charming when they're out there blowing games and sticking to the philosophy and turning very, very creative and diverse scorers into three-point chuckers, and, you know, when that's not working, there's nothing else. And I don't blame that all completely on Joe Mazzulla. I mean, this is a basketball team full of stars. They should be able to figure it out. It shouldn't all be, you know, on him. But it does sort of go to show that when you're so stuck on your philosophy, when you're so entrenched in your way of doing things, when you have an entire staff of people who all crunch the numbers and tell you this is how to do it, and you're with it, and you don't really know, you don't really want to stray from it because you've invested so much in this way of doing it. I get that. Like, I understand that. I don't agree necessarily with going that way, but what the hell do I know? I mean, they won the championship last year. It clearly worked. Although this year they do seem to have taken it to a bit of an extreme. And prior to those first two games, it hadn't caught up to him yet. Now I think it has. And just hearing him go, yeah, just, you know, embrace the darkness. Okay. Can you maybe diversify the offense a little bit instead of just embracing the darkness? I think that's part of it. Like the Joe Mazzulla thing, like the Joe Mazzulla act, and I only call it an act because he's just so unique. He's so different from every other coach. He's different from like every other person I've ever met. Like, I don't know anybody in the world like Joe Mazzulla. I really don't. I don't know anyone who talks like him. I don't know anyone who's, you know, just has that sort of cadence and way of communicating. I don't think there's a lot of people in the world like him, honestly. And so at times it can come off as very, you know, very cool. It can come off as a guy who just knows what he's doing and has, you know, tunnel vision because he's just all about winning. sometimes it comes off as a little sticky. I thought last night was a little sticky. But you know what? If they win the next two, it's not going to matter. And if they come back from being down 0-2 after losing the first two games at home, that's going to be an all-time collapse for the Knicks and their charming fans. We just got a text from Fitzy. Did you see this, Jacob? Fitzy just texted us an interaction that he had at Madison Square Garden, which, by the way, Fitzy's going to these games? Is that wow, Fitzy.
Crazy.
You know what the walk-in price was for that game? It was like $600. $950 to walk in? I saw $600. It's up to $950.
Holy That's what moly. It was for last game.
Jeez. All right. Well, there you go. Walk-in price, $1,000. I guess Fitzy, all that money you saved from not going to Wisconsin, ends up going to Game 3. Good for him. How about that? Well, either way, the fans out there, I mean, listen, that's why you wait a little bit before you start popping off so much, Knicks fans. Word of advice. I've found myself in that same situation. In fact, when I was in Colorado, this is true, I was in college in Colorado during the first Patriots dynasty from in the early 2000s. And because the Patriots were so good, I would make bets with all my friends out there who were all Denver Broncos fans. And you know the one team the Patriots always lost to in the first 5 years of the dynasty? The Denver Broncos. Every single time. I swear to God. And it didn't matter who it was. Mike Shanahan owned Bill Belichick back then. Jake Plummer was beating them. Everyone. It didn't matter who the quarterback was. You know, even when Shanahan left and Josh McDaniels took over, McDaniels with the Broncos and Jake Cutler beat the Patriots. They could not beat him. They could not beat him. And I was just, you know, I thought I was King Bleep walking around there, the only Patriots fan out there. And I'm making bets with everybody, and I lost every single time because it was the Broncos, and for some reason the Patriots beat every team except the Broncos. So you know what? I empathize, Knicks fans, but you got to eventually learn your lesson, and I get the feeling that maybe they haven't. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with your phone calls. Want to get into something Jaylen Brown had to say, and are you still worried? Are you still worried about the Celtics and the things that we saw in the first two games? I want to get a sense of this because I am. But I get the feeling that a lot of Celtics fans are just sort of like, nah, everything's fine. We got this series now. We're all good. Everything's going exactly to plan. Let me know how you're feeling right now, Celtics fans, because I'm still nervous. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone call.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Calls right after this. Jason Tatum, who had a lot to say after the first two games, said he has to be better, said he's letting the team down. I think that there is a growing sense that Jason Tatum is hearing a lot of the critiques and criticisms. And he said after the game yesterday, it was an interesting quote. He went on and on about how I'm not some mean guy who's going to go out there mean mugging everybody, playing with anger. I play with joy. I keep hearing that. I play the game with joy. There's so much joy with the way that I play. Like, great. Okay. Did you win? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's sort of the thing. Like, I understand that, and I feel like it's sort of a, it's become kind of a cliche. It's joy. I play the game with joy. Derek White. Everyone says that about Derek White. Oh, look at the joy he plays the game with. Yeah. Okay. Great. I'm glad he likes his job. You know, I'm glad he likes getting paid $30 million to play basketball. You know, I'd have a lot of joy in my life if I was doing that too, I think. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything to me. Like, did Larry Bird have joy in the game? Did he play with joy? Or was he out there, you know? Does Michael Jordan play the game? Was he joyously playing basketball? LeBron, I guess you could say that about. You know, LeBron still has that kind of aspect of his game. But it's not, you know, I don't think that means anything. I don't. You can play angry, you can play happy, you can play however you want to play. Whatever best suits you. And for Jason Tatum, maybe that's exactly what it is. I think Tatum, at times, can have a mean streak, can have sort of a nasty streak. And I like it when he does that. I like it when he's hitting shots and woofing and getting people's faces. He doesn't do it that often. He was doing it against Orlando, and I loved it. And you know what else he was doing against Orlando? Taking over games, which he's not doing against New York. And he certainly didn't do yesterday. They won the game, but it's not because Jason Tatum took over. Maybe it's because he was hitting his threes. He was 5 of 9 from three, which is way better than he's been in the first two games or really at all in the playoffs so far. Awesome shooting from him. Awesome shooting from the whole team, really. Tatum, 5 for 9. Horford, 3 for 4. Holiday, 2 for 3. White, 3 for 6. Brown, 2 for 6. Pritchard, 5 for 10. They were hitting. But again, as is the case with Tatum mostly, if those threes aren't going in, how else is he scoring? What else is he doing? He's contributed many other ways to this team in the playoffs so far. He's the leading rebounder on the team. He had 14 rebounds the other day. Came close to a triple-double last night. 22-9-7. Like, well, I'll take that, obviously. But is he taking over games? Not really. And so far, I guess he hasn't necessarily needed to. You could say maybe he needed to in the Orlando series, or that he should have in the first two New York games. If anyone had taken over even a little bit in those first two games, then you're probably up 3-0 right now. But that, I think, comes to the very question of defining of what Jason Tatum is and who he is and how he'll be, what his legacy is going to be when all is said and done. Because if you watch over in Oklahoma City, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's not having a great playoff. He's not getting the same kind of scrutiny. Jason Tatum and the Celtics, and I think rightfully so, are getting all of the judgment that they are because everyone expects them to become the next dynasty now. I do. Nationally, I think people do. No one is expecting that. No one picked them, Cleveland, to pick them off. No one really thinks that OKC would beat them in the finals. They're the favorites. They are considered the favorites. Whatever Vegas says. You get down to it, if it's Celtics and OKC in the finals, who do you think the majority of people are going to vote, going to be betting on? It's not even close. And rightfully so. Which is why they have these higher expectations, which is why for a team like this that so much is expected of, and two superstars, one of whom is first team All-NBA for what, the third year in a row, fourth year in a row with Tatum? Hovering around the MVP conversation year after year, just outside the top three. You get to the finals and you expect the MVP, you expect this guy to come out and play that way. And last year, I mean, we all saw Jaylen Brown outperform him. And it wasn't as though Jaylen Brown last year in the playoffs, you can go back and check, his numbers weren't amazing. And neither were Tatum's, obviously. Tatum led, I think he had more rebounds and assists and statistically had Brown beat in a couple of areas, but Brown was more efficient shooting, not much more, but more efficient, and was playing better defense on Luka Doncic. And that's what ended up getting them the finals MVP, and in the conference finals against Indiana, it was the same kind of thing. Brown didn't have great numbers, but they were better than Tatum's. And it didn't really matter that neither one of them were playing out of their minds. The Celtics have established themselves as a team that can win even when their two best players aren't taking over games. They can win in more of a distributive way. They can win by death by a thousand paper cuts from all up and down one through five. And you've seen that happen. I mean, you saw that happen a lot last year. They're just more talented. They can overwhelm teams. What's interesting is the Knicks in the offseason loaded up just to beat the Celtics. That's why they made all these moves. That's why they went after Bridges. That's why they went after Towns. That's why they did all these things, because they knew they couldn't beat the Celtics. They liked Brunson, obviously. They weren't going to trade him, but they made some major, major adjustments to their lineup and did it all with the intention of, okay, this is how we beat the Celtics. It's kind of like what the Bruins did in the offseason. In the offseason, the Bruins loaded up with all these big goons and Elias Lindholm, but also all these got Max Jones and Zadorov and all these other, you know, the big forwards, and said, we're not going to let the Panthers push us around anymore. We're going to be ready for them this year. We got bigger and tougher, and if they try and take liberties, we're going to go out there and lay them out. And what happened? They played Florida twice in the first 2 weeks, and the Panthers kicked their ass both games. And I thought, honestly, I thought the season was DOA right there, and I was right. And with the Knicks, they go out and they make big moves. Bridges, they traded all their picks for Bridges. Julius Randle, Karl Anthony Towns, come on down. And they had a dreadful year when it came to playing against the good teams. The Celtics swept them. I think Cleveland swept them. I think OKC swept them. Whenever they played a team that was considered one of the top teams, the Knicks got housed. Now, they're talented enough that they were able to win a lot of games and beat the lousy teams, but they had no chance against the Celtics most times this year. And that's why those first two games were just so shocking. And you watch them and you just said, whoa, 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 whoa. Where'd this come from? Where did this Knicks team come from? And where did the Celtics collapse come from? A lot of people think that they're over it. A lot of people think that the Celtics are just going to cruise on through to the next round. And since they won game three, it's all set. I feel like this Knicks team is not going to go away that easy. I don't think Jalen Brunson's going to go away that easy unless, you know, he gets hurt or something. We haven't seen a big Brunson game yet. I have a feeling you might see that in game four. Haven't seen a big Towns game yet. Might see that later on down the road. Either way, the Celtics, I would love to see him shoot 50% from three every night. But in the event that they don't, do they have what it takes? Can they find other ways to win to beat this Knicks team? Because in the first two games, they couldn't. And if it's only just about shooting 50% from three every night, then I don't like their chances, because I don't think they're going to do that. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. The Boston Red Sox, what a weekend they've had. What a week they've had. It's really bad. I mean, I know it's May. It's like the beginning of May. But between Rafael Devers, the Celtics, and the Knicks in those first two games, it has been a stressful 72 hours. More than that, really. It's been a stressful week in general for Boston sports fans. Rafael Devers, that whole thing. Celtics won yesterday. Sorry, Celtics. Red Sox won yesterday, which is not the headline at all. The headline is what's going on behind the scenes here. We'll dive into that with your phone calls at 617-779-7937 right after this.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.